This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering. Oh, yeah.
Episode 1440 of Hard Factor. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024, also known as Tax Day. So get them in or extend them. But sorry to everybody. It is Tax Day, right?
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Thank you for cheating on the news with us. 80-ish% accuracy guaranteed on this podcast. Everything you need to know in 40 minutes or less-ish. But if you need more, go to patreon.com/hardfactor. So
hell yeah,
it's the most important part. Today Mark's got all of the big headlines to start us off, including World War III starting again. So
we got plenty of fun stuff in this episode, just not the first two stories.
Okay, yeah. Well,
really fun stuff. We got some really good stuff.
Good. What's the World War III count at since we've been doing the show? 6 years now, so
right,
broken out what, like 10 times? Is this?
Yeah, but this one's pretty aggressive. A lot of times people are like, this is going to be it. And I don't think this is going to be it necessarily, but it's the closest. It could lead to it. Like it's a big step towards it.
I love World War.
Yeah, it's very scary.
I mean, it's scary. It's very scary. The World War III trending part is it gets me going every time because it happens a lot. It's not, you know, I'm hoping it's not it. That's what I'm becoming, you know,
of course,
hoping that it's like all the other ones when it trended and it's not it. It's not the big one. You know,
we'll get into it. We'll get into it in a few minutes.
Out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll find out. I've got three good ideas that went horribly wrong to tell you about.
I hate when that happens.
Happens all the time. More than you think. You know?
I have so many fucking good ideas in my head. And then, yeah. And then in execution or somewhere along
on
the way.
On paper, yeah. Great. In practice, maybe not. So we'll talk about those.
Elite ideas guy. Nothing else after that. Yeah. Yeah.
Not an engineer. You know, no. Right? Neither am I. So
try to convince someone to do my idea, do all the work, and then give me half the money for the idea. But that doesn't work. Yeah.
I suffer from the same condition.
What do you have, Eric?
Yeah, producer Eric joins us
again. I got a smelly situation once again in the gaming community.
Yo, you're in the gaming community. Do you guys not shower? What's going on?
I mean, we'll get into it, but okay. If there's a stereotype that's true, is that gaming and anime conventions, or just gatherings in general.
Yeah,
the only thing you guys hate more than showers is women in the gaming community, right?
That's true.
Yeah. It's like walking into a card shop.
And a female's part of this story, so buckle in.
Okay, yeah. That's going to be good.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait for that. And producer Eric joins us today because, as is tradition at this point, like the Masters, Scotty Scheffler for the win.
Yeah,
Jim,
he won.
Sezen.
Back to back. What a bastard that guy is. He's so good.
A tradition unlike any other. Just like Wes filming a wedding on Sunday. So he's out this Sunday night as we film Monday's episode, as is tradition. And sadly, Pat's dad did not get that miracle that we were all hoping for last Friday, and he passed away over the weekend. You could see more about Dr. Michael Cassidy, RIP, on Pat's Twitter and the Hard Factor Discord, patreon.com/hardfactor, RIP, Big Mike. He was a man. So,
all right. Yeah, it's terrible. He was an awesome dude. He always opened his doors to us. We've been friends with Pat since middle school, and we hung out in his like basement on so many nights. Like so many, they would open their doors to us, the Cassidys, and cook for us sometimes and let us hang out. And it was
the best. Chicken on a stick,
shrimp. Oh, yeah. He was a good cook. Yeah,
down in the basement watching comedies, you know, gets late watching some Skinamax down in the basement down there. I mean, Big Mike's house was amazing. Big Mike, a master craftsman. He was a doctor, like I said, a professor.
Academic, yeah.
Awesome dude. We filmed some sketches with him. We were watching Paint Talking About Love. If you look up that one, we came in second in the Baltimore 24-hour Film Festival with it. And Mike
robbed second to a standing applause, which the first place didn't get, by the way.
Right. I mean, yeah. We brought the house down at the theater showing. It was out of control. And it was mostly because of Big Mike's performance in that. I mean, it was tremendous. So, RIP.
My thoughts are with Pat's family for sure. He'll be back when he can come back. He's been texting us and seems to be in about as good a spirits he can be. And I'm sure he's excited to get back too. But yeah, thank you, Will. All right, you guys want to do the news?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to play this because there's three.
Know who you're with?
Three Factor, yeah.
And this is real news.
Okay, so biggest news by far this weekend was Iran shot 100 or over 100 missiles directly at Israel. Right at them.
Right. I saw the graphic that Israel put up. It was like they put all these lines pointing at them from like Syria, Iran, and all these other places. I guess they intercepted a lot of them, right? Hopefully.
They did, yeah. I'll cover that in just a second. That was a fun headline to follow over the weekend, and I'm using sarcasm. It went from Iran is probably going to do it Friday night, says U.S. intelligence, to Iran did it, and Israel is going to have trouble dealing with 100 at one time, to the missiles are on the way and will be there in a few hours, which was probably the most harrowing one. That one.
Hats off to us, though. I did mention... Hats off to us. I mentioned this like 10 days before it happened. So if you heard it first at Hard Factor, if you've been listening along. So.
Yeah, I guess there were signs too. We didn't. Maybe you follow the UN, which we'll get to. But luckily, the reports coming out are that Israel, who shut down their airspace and their schools and everything, I guess they're going to resume school tomorrow or today, I should say, with the help of U.S. military and drones, shot down 99% of the missiles before they hit Israel. So it sounds like maybe one got through. Luckily, no one died. 12 people had to seek medical attention, but I don't think anything too severe. So pretty good defense. But what's next, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, after you send, 300 suicide drones and missiles that only one gets through, I mean, you got to be pretty deflated as if you're Iran right there, right?
I'm talking about Israel's response. What's next? So Iran told the UN and the world that they had the right to defend themselves after an Israeli attack on their consular building in Syria back on April 1st. They also claimed they let the UN Security Council know around April 2nd that this attack was probably going to go down. So that might be where like people started, you know, U.S. intelligence. Did they just talk to the UN?
I think that's what I saw when I mentioned it on the pod last time.
Right. Yeah. U.S. intelligence. So everyone had that intelligence. They were also pissed, you know, about 33,000 plus people dying from the attacks on Gaza. But according to Iran's U.S. or UN representative, Amir Saidi or Iravani, they're not planning on escalating to war, and they think this attack was proportionally appropriate, and they should just. That's it. Like, we won't attack again. Israel, you stop attacking, and then that's it.
Well, just to each other, Iran and Israel, and that's it.
Right. Also, they're asking them to stop attacking Gaza, but that's it. This is it.
But Israel's not going to do that.
You think this is it?
Okay.
It can't be. I mean, if history tells you anything, the Middle East is just going to keep at it.
Right. Yeah, that's where they had the Crusades, right, Producer Eric?
Yeah.
That's how I thought. Anyway,
it's a dangerous.
Like Gen Z is screwed. We're getting drafted. That's all I can think about.
I saw that was one of the number one.
Can you get drafted from the Philippines? Even though
U.S. citizen.
And the low key, I'm back in the U.S. But don't tell the U.S.
Oh, go back to the Philippines.
You need to get out. Get out now.
I'm over here shaking in my boots.
Not yet. Yeah. You will be when they draft you. You'll be in boots.
I mean, it would have to escalate so much further to constitute a U.S. draft. But that is so funny. That's how reactionary we are that the draft age limit was one of the top Googles over the weekend, right?
Right.
Like,
Gen Z was trending.
I mean, I might start gaining some of the weight I've been losing back. I'm sure I'm still too fat for war right now, but better safe than sorry, right?
I mean, this is Happy Path here. We're talking about an expensive fireworks show.
Honey, pasta.
300 drones that got all destroyed by the Iron Dome and then the David Sling thing. And then, and there you go. Hopefully it's just like a fireworks show and that's it, right?
Well, when I said what's next.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
When I said what's next, and Iran says, you know, let's just stop. Israel, of course, said, hold my beer, hold our beer here. And they plan on responding with force, I imagine.
Well, sure.
But
they're gonna, I mean, like, as long as nobody else like jumps in with Israel, isn't this not World War III though, right? Like, as long as like everybody's like,
yeah.
Go ahead, go ham, Israel. They sent their 300 drones.
It's a little bit of a double dutch situation going on right now. Right. Hopefully everyone stays out of the jump rope.
Luckily, but like Russia, Saudi Arabia, Russia, for example, is not on board with using their airspace and stuff like that. Like, a lot of countries in the Middle East are pretty much against the airspace being used for this. They're acting as like a buffer zone, essentially.
Yeah, the Saudis, because essentially surround Israel.
Qatar as well, I think I saw.
Isn't Lebanon on the other side? They were pretty upset about the Gaza attacks, too. I mean,
they're right about Israel.
Two different sides. So Joe Biden convened a meeting of G7 leaders condemning Iran's attacks. The UN has held some special meetings to decide how to proceed, stating they want to make sure not to do anything that would lead to all-out war, which seems like, you know, it's closer to. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, we here at Hard Factor don't want any wars or anyone to die. No military, no civilians in Israel, Gaza, Iran, wherever. War and death is ass, is what I like to say.
Yeah, they have that song about war, it's not good for anything, and it's pretty
true. That song still kicks ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
War still sucks, right?
Yeah.
It just does happen, and so we'll see where it goes. Hopefully it's not World War III, though, because I'm hoping that the streak continues, because World War III has broken out on Twitter like a dozen, maybe Baker's dozen times since June 2018 when we started the show, and so I'm hoping that this is another in the trend of it started online, but it didn't actually start. And that's what I'm hoping.
Good or bad timing for that movie Civil War? Because
Intern Jackson said that the writing sucked. So we were all saying you had to wait for the audience score on Civil War.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Turns out to be true. Got to wait for the audience.
Well, let's look that up. I think the audience score is around the 70s.
But that's bad when the audience is 70s and the critics were 90s. That's tough.
I think it's more like 80s, 70s. I think the critics score came down a bit.
Wow. But, tough for
some. You know, it's I think it's entertaining. I'm sure it's entertaining. It's a powder keg over there. Defense company execs are just nutting in their pants. Right?
Yep. Yeah. It's Raytheon's pumped.
Yeah.
Nutting John in their Bolton, pants and their big pumped. Offices and their big buildings. You have to imagine
Dick
that they
Cheney,
have. Pumped. Oh, yeah. I imagine the defense company execs have plenty of pairs of those. Remember those liquid resistant Dockers? So they can just pop one off in their pants and not even have to worry about cleaning it up. They just keep going.
Oh, yeah. They love Netanyahu.
Oh,
I mean, it's just order after order after order.
Whew, more to come on this one, though. Hopefully, cooler heads prevail. We'll see. Oh, other tragic event over the weekend, lest we forget, the Sydney, Australia stabbings in a mall, I think it was. Yeah,
it was a mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mall.
You saw this? Five women, including a brand new mother and a Pakistani guard trying to protect people, were stabbed to death by a lunatic Australian man. I'm not going to mention his name, because fuck him, in Sydney's Bondi Junction, which is, I believe, just an indoor mall.
Sydney, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
He was targeting women. And people were like saying, he's this, he's that, he's this, right. He's this race, he's this race, he's this race. Turns out he was just an Australian guy that hated women.
Yeah, he was like running away from dudes, right? And then targeting
women,
vulnerable women.
Got dumped or something. Who knows? Good news is he was shot to death on the scene before he could kill any more women or guards or try this again. But it was a horrible weekend in Sydney. That's terrible. It sucks. An embarrassing weekend in Philadelphia when the 76ers unveiled Allen Iverson's statue.
Really?
Yeah. Take a look at the size of this thing. Well, look what they did to the answer.
It's pretty small.
It's very small, Will. That's like...
Well, that's an outdoor statue?
Yes. I mean, you could miss it so easily. It looks like a large trophy, not a statue.
You'd think that's going inside. Like, they're going to pick it up and move it inside the way they're all standing around.
Looks like it belongs in a high school, like, glass case.
Is it next to a bunch of other small statues, to put it in perspective? Like, no, it might be a small statue, but not for this park right here.
No, I don't think so.
That's
I don't know.
Standalone, huh? Wow.
Yeah, people are literally looking down at it.
Yeah, I mean, Allen Iverson was only like 6'0", and that was like being generous. I think he's more like 5'10".
Right.
And
Josh Harris is standing right there. He's short too. So two short guys look like giants right next to it.
Yeah. Maybe 2 foot stature. That's being generous.
I mean, that's also perspective. So.
Yeah, it's true.
That's tough.
The perspective is it's tiny. The Sixers got trolled mercilessly online, including by Hard Factor's own Twitter, or X, I should say, guru Al, who photoshopped the trophy as the image of the tiny model building unveiled in Zoolander that pissed off Derek Zoolander. What is this, a statue for ants?
Yeah, because it kind of looks like it. I mean, if you're out in front of the stadium, you're thinking, like, that's the thing you walk by, like, when you're going to the ticket line. And so you're thinking, like, it's going to be massive, like 2 to 3 times the height of a human. You have to walk around it. You could get pictures with it.
I'm more sad for Allen Iverson, who's, you know, Georgetown from where we're from. Sixers, I'm a big Philly guy. All my family's from Philly, right? Besides my immediate family in Virginia. Like, that huge Allen Iverson fan. This is, I'm more sad for him at this moment than when he did the "I can't even afford a cheeseburger" and cried in court moment. This is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tiny. He didn't deserve that. Short. Guy was MVP of the league. Fucking phenomenal score. I did see one NBA nerd that scolded everyone for having fun online, which is always fun. Like, stop having fun online, and said, "Hey, morons, don't you know the difference between a standard size statue and a life size? This is a standard statue that the NBA or the Sixers did for an Iverson. It's almost as big as other standard statues for legends like George Gervin and others." And then he proceeded to post pictures of bigger standard statues and tattled on himself, saying it's even small for standard size.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it looks small. I mean, the one guy next to it with the goatee, he's like a security guy here. He's got a big bushy beard.
Yeah.
A big bald head, and then like sunglasses. He looks like maybe he's a giant human, and he makes it look very small.
He looks like Fetterman's shorter uncle.
Right. Exactly. He's Fetterman's nephew. Very
Fetterman looked
who works security for Josh Harris. Yeah, he makes
Just make it bigger. Just make it bigger. I don't know. Anyways, I wanted to end on not the the war stabbings.
That's nice of you. Thanks.
Yeah,
that's good. It's big of you, Mark. Appreciate that. Can't be all World War III and stabbings on a Monday.
That's right.
You know,
hey, you could be Allen Iverson.
Right. The answer. Providing comedic relief as always, though. That was his best thing, you know, even when he was playing in the NBA.
Yeah, it was his practice. It was his statue. Yeah,
he's bringing you a quick break. All right, on to some good ideas that became bad ideas. Happens all the time, like we were talking about at the top of the podcast. A great idea to make everyone happier. You're working on everything. You've got, you know, light bulb moment. This is going to fix a lot of problems. Let's do it. But then it ends up really sucking ass once you get into it every day. It's just horrible. You hate it. You know,
you forget why you even thought of it.
You hate yourself. Yeah. Yeah. You
no one hates a good idea going wrong more than the guy or girl that came up with it.
Right. It's crushing. it's
a roller coaster of emotions. When you come up with a great idea, you're like on cloud nine, and then when it just absolutely doesn't work out, it's like, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it happens to everybody all the time, especially us for sure on this show.
Yeah.
It's like freshly juicing your own fruits and veggies every day, right? That was a big trend back, forks over knives craze. Yeah, it sounds like so healthy and easy on paper, but then you get into it, and then you realize you don't want to clean a juice machine 6 times a day.
Not only the juice machine, but then you're like, depending on your counters, they're stained. You got to get those. You got to clean that pretty quick.
You're shitting everywhere. There's stains everywhere. Right. Yeah. So it's just,
where are you storing all the, there's flies in the house. This is where you're storing all the fruits and veggies.
All the pulp. Yeah. You have like 7 gallons of pulp you got to take out to the trash can.
Your disposal's
every day.
Not real thrilled with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Disgusting. Anyways, it's like juicing, right? I got 3 things along those lines hitting the headlines this week to talk about. But first, a word from our incredibly delicious, delicious sponsor, Cook Unity. I got a Cook Unity box right in front of me right now because I had it for lunch. It was delicious. Do you love to eat out but don't have time, like me and my wife with 2 kids, 3 and under? Well, lucky for us and you, Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. Go to cookunity.com/hardfactor or enter code hardfactor before checkout for 50% off your first week. We just started using the service, and the options and tastes are phenomenal. I'm a big taco. My favorite right here. I'm holding it up. Korean brisket tacos. These things will blow you away. So
who's the chef on that?
So delicious. It's by Esther Choi. So she knows how to make a Korean brisket taco, let me tell you. And so, you know, they have tons of different styles. Something for everybody. Vegetarian, protein, you know, comfort food, whatever you like. Every meal is handcrafted by chefs and made in local micro kitchens, not large production facilities. Your food arrives fresh, never frozen, in packaging that keeps the meals fresh in the fridge up to 7 days. Cook Unity packaging is compostable, recyclable, or reusable. Pick as few as 4 or as many as 16 meals per week. It's delivered. The packaging really is great. And it's, you know, easy to heat up. 2 minutes, boom, you're ready, you're eating. Experience chef quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/hardfactor or enter code hardfactor before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code hardfactor, or go to cookunity.com/hardfactor.
I think my favorite thing about that is their, when you get in their website, I'm a big Yelp guy, and they have like each thing, they have all the reviews and you can click on them. You can read individual reviews from people, and including honest ones, like that some are a little bit too harsh in my opinion, but they're all like, these are chefs and they give like reviews of the flavors and all these different things. So it's like fun to pick which one you want, because you can, I always like to go to Yelp before I go to a restaurant. They've got the, inside their app. It's awesome.
It's all, it's no holds
picking's barred. Exciting.
Like
yeah.
People are giving real reviews. You can see exactly how good it is, and you can try them out and then rate them yourself. Save your favorites.
Someone gave my girl a bad chicken pot pie review on the flavor, and I disagree, but some people have different tastes, but at least you can pick tidbits off of people, and they might have the same type of preferences as you and stuff.
Exactly. You can give it all a shot. You can see the reviews right there. I'm telling you though, Korean brisket tacos, you can't go wrong. Yeah. That's a great idea. Cook Unity. Mm. And you're not going to want to give it up after starting. It's too delicious. I can promise you that. Now, on to good ideas, you know, that became horrible ideas. Okay. After less than 1 year being announced and starting construction, this good idea, now probably bad idea, scaled back by 98.6%. From 105 miles to 1.5 miles. That's 1.43% of the original plan. Of course, I'm talking about the line in Saudi Arabia.
What, they have the same developer as the statue designer for the Sixers?
Yeah. They're going with the city for ants.
You could fit three statues in there.
Stagflation, man. That's what it is.
98.6, but that's your temperature, not how much you scale something down.
What, it's the you think it's the cost of building the 105 miles was just too great. 98.6% too great, so they had to just bring it down to 1.5 miles. Is that the projections are inflation really fucked with their
so
projections.
That should be done kind of soon, right? You'd think when like And how
right.
many
well, I mean,
so how many people are going to live in there? Like 3 million? Now it's going to be like 30,000?
Okay, Mark. So the original
10 people.
The original at 105 miles long was planned to house 1.5 million. Okay.
So divide that. What's 1.4% of that?
Right. Not many, but
none
they
that.
Say 1600 they say that they say that somehow in this 1.5 mile long line, which is two twin parallel skyscrapers, you know, running side by side, they say that they can fit 300,000, even though it's only 1.43% the length.
Oh, they're
going to
be packed in, dude.
Right, like sardines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it went from like a luxury, you have your own like soccer field and shops and stuff in your neighborhood to like
they just took the first 300,000 people's down payments and then were never planning on building a big.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, stuck here.
Basically, Mark, it's still going to be two parallel running twin skyscrapers, like I said, with the capacity of being a quote unquote self-sustaining city inside the Saudi desert. That's what they're selling it as, that this is some self-sustaining city inside these
skyscrapers. I mean, to be fair, 1.5 mile long self-sustaining like little city, whatever you want to call it, is kind of cool, but not when you said it was going to be that big to begin with. Now it's not cool.
Right. Yeah. So it's still going to be that, it's but 98.6% shorter. And the budget for this year, 2024, this current year, is reportedly not yet fully approved. So the people have seen contractors dropping like flies off the the site.
What do they really call it? Monorail. This is like the monorail guy from The Simpsons. This is ridiculous. This makes me think that giant sea turtle in space, the cruise ship that flies, is not going to exist or whatever that thing was.
Right. Right. Yeah, most of these things are just dreams that we report on and, you know. They get billions of dollars, though, because they get, in the news, you know, and people give them money.
Yeah. That's the biz to get in, fake, just building a fake giant building and getting the money for it. Yeah.
You think the Saudis are cashing in on all the investments? Probably.
Someone cashed in on it.
Yeah. I mean, don't they have all the oil money? Like, they could have built it.
It's the Crown Prince's project. So, I mean, I think it's just money. A loss. Right?
Imagine people were dropping like flies trying to build that thing in the desert. And they're like, we don't have enough Qatar people. Situation. Hey, FIFA, who did you get to build it? Yes.
But guys, don't worry. Even though they haven't approved this year's budget and it's now only going to be 1.5 miles long, you know, the plans are from the word of the Saudis that they're definitely still going to finish all 105 miles of this structure eventually someday. Okay. But for now,
it's not happening.
It's just a mile and a half. If we approve the budget,
if it takes them 5 years to go a mile and a half, that would be a lot of years.
Well, no, they say the 1.5 miles will be done by 2030. Now if the budget's approved.
8 to 9 years since we reported it. So that would be 400 years to finish the whole thing.
Hey, the check's in the mail. The check's in the mail. Okay.
I don't know. Fargo. Years. Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea that went bad. Well,
right. Or a scheme. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
It sounds expensive, though. It sounds like it just went bad. Producer Eric, please tell us about this gaming convention that stinks. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, you know, it might not come to as a surprise to a lot of you guys that if you want to smell something really nice, the last place you want to go to is a gaming or anime gathering. Like, there's stereotypes about these two groups. You know, they're not fair, that's for sure. But being smelly, for sure, that's true. By far. They're one of the smelliest groups in the world.
That's one that you can't, Comic-Con can't live that one down. Yeah, it's just a fact that, does that fall under the category here, what you're talking about?
Yeah, AnimeCon. Yeah, okay. All the cons literally fall under that.
All the cons, people stink, and that's just a fact.
Yeah. If you smelled like roses, you'd be taking flowers instead of playing video games probably anyway, so, you know, and I'm a stinky guy, I get it, but I mean, of course they stink.
Yeah,
of course.
Live commenter Corey Webb says, I've smelt Chinese dumpsters that smelled better than
Corey, why were you there? Why didn't you leave?
Like, for Snoop example, Brown, things Chinese have dumpster, gotten so know. Bad that, you know, in recent years, 4 years ago, like, dudes were literally making videos giving out deodorants to people.
Oh, at these
Super
guys,
Smash
that tournament. Guy stinks. Yeah, that guy stinks.
Well, you
dude,
feel
he just
bad
gave for it straight to that guy.
Does he have to have somebody apply the deodorant for him, though? That's tough. So,
yeah,
is his elbow flexibility there for it?
All the comments are like giving deodorant to a Smash player is like a demon walking into a church. So, you know, like everybody. Everybody knows, it's not a good time when it comes to just gatherings with anime-related stuff or just gaming-related stuff.
It's an assault on the senses, those conventions, because there's so much visuals going on.
Right.
It smells, it's loud. It's just a very intense scenario.
Right. You want to be chewing, dentine ice gum that's so intense, it numbs all of your senses, so you can't smell it. Right. The room.
The only sense that isn't going on is touch of titties.
And listen, this isn't like anything new. Like, I'll take you guys back to a 2018 headline. Super Smash player pleaded with everybody to please, for the love of God, stop smelling so bad. That was 2018. Okay. In 2023, there was a headline that came out that a Super Smash pro, one of the players, literally panicked and ran off to the bathroom because his opponent told him he smells. Like, this dude had a full-blown panic attack because he did not want to be
that's
one of
sad.
Those.
I don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, but how bad did he smell?
I don't know. For him to like storm off to the bathroom.
Enough to believe what the guy said. Yeah.
Okay. And well, maybe visit the guy who's handing out the free degree.
Right. Deodorant. Get a deodorant. And then back in 2019, one of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments literally banned players who showed up smelling bad or just not looking right. Like, they literally banned him. Like, you look dirty, you're not being allowed in because, like, you're going to stink up the place. Okay. And so bringing
it back.
Why don't
they just have showers? Why don't they just have showers at the conventions? Like, right. Not like necessarily group showers, but like individual showers you can go in and shower.
Dude, nobody would shower. It would be a waste of money. That's kind of...
Well, if don't the start the tournament until everyone fucking showers.
No, it's fair. Like, if there's a rule pre-written on the form that says if you show up and you make our door staff all gag because you stink that bad, you're not getting in. That's fair. That's fair.
Right.
Yeah. P. Yu-Gi-Oh.
And, you know, just on Friday, another Yu-Gi-Oh tournament was happening, this time in Japan. Luckily, it's not all in the U.S., so, you know, we got at least that going for us. But this time in Japan, where literally halfway through the match, a female player that was playing against this other guy stormed off because the dude just smelled so bad. She just couldn't anymore. She literally quit, dropped, and just left. And the thing is, when she first just stormed off, people thought, you know, her being a woman and this being the toxic game,
she sucks at the game, she lost,
she's taking it now, why isn't she handling
were people like automatically assuming she got like sexually harassed, something like that,
right? Emotional because she was taking the L because she was losing.
Guys were exchanging money because they bet whether she would storm off or not. They're exchanging money.
Told you.
By the way, this is what a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament looks like, as you would expect.
Oh, well, you could get some smells. There's a lot of people crammed in.
Yeah, like,
it's
look at this.
It's card playing.
It's just a vacuum of smells.
It looks like a future shot of the line.
it's like a bingo hall for virgins.
Yeah.
Dude, how long are these things? How many people do you have to beat to win?
So, I mean, you pretty much just go down the line. That's really what it is. It's a very long tournament. Sometimes they could be 2 weeks, sometimes a month. Like, they go on for a long time. There's also, like, regional tournaments that go on for months. Yeah. Like, this is a big deal, especially in Japan.
Smell someone's ass. A long time to
you
be smelling in there.
Yu-Gi-Oh! For a month.
It's a marathon of not trying to gag.
Yeah, luckily other gaming tournaments like Super Smash, for example, luckily you're just like a weekend and it's over.
Sure. Quick matches.
So at least that's fine. But Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments where like you're in front of somebody for hours, like that is miserable because these dudes smell. They stink. Especially in places like Japan, man.
Is it possible to psych out? Like, you know, like to get an advantage over your opponent? Like, throw them off their game?
I don't know. I mean, probably. Nobody has really thought about that, but hey, maybe that's a strategy. Maybe that's what it is.
You're not going to play your best hand if
it's
you
a psych out.
Fucking
right? Just stinks so bad. Hulk Hogan used to talk about that. He said he would make his breath stinky and make his mustache stink on purpose to intimidate people, to psych them out.
Who's the Broncos and R word, the Commanders guy from our hometown, Mark Schlereth, right? They call him Stink.
Peed on his own leg.
Stink.
Yeah. But yeah, going back to the female Yu-Gi-Oh player, you know, she's to make it to this tournament, I'm pretty sure she must have been pretty good.
Right.
And so, she storms off. Twitter instantly makes it, you know, about, you know, being sexist or whatever. And then she came out and was like, no, this dude's what he smelled really bad, and I just couldn't take it anymore, so I dropped. I didn't care that I was losing. I wasn't being emotional because, like, I wasn't playing right. This dude was just really stinky. I just couldn't take it anymore, so I had to storm off. And to not make the dude feel too bad, she said that it's not just guys that smell bad. Sometimes there's females that smell bad, too. So, hey, it's just like an overall problem.
That won't make him feel too bad. She left the arena.
Don't feel too bad. Well, she's like, I would have done it if he was a girl either way, but he wasn't. So why did you have to throw that in there? Because, she's right. Like, both sexes can smell bad, but that's... I mean, neither here nor there when you left because of this one horribly stinky guy.
Yeah. Everyone in the community knows who it was because there's like one guy playing a girl.
Just stormed off.
Yeah. Did they have his Yu-Gi-Oh tag, Eric? Did they give that out? Did they give out his info?
No. So his Yu-Gi-Oh this ID? Is Japan, so they're keeping it on the low key. You know, like if you record in public, sometimes you got to blur out faces. They're all about that.
Well, that's good. So, he's safe then. Safe.
Yeah, yeah. In the articles, you don't see names from either of them. But the female did say that there are stinky female duelists, but the men are in a class of their own. That's what she said.
Of course. I'm looking online. They did give initials like they like to do overseas. They're calling them B.O.
Mm. Yeah, B.O.
Yeah. Whoa. Oof. Yeah. But yeah, she
what if also he won? Did he win the whole thing?
Yeah. Psych out.
I don't think so. He probably got kicked out because, you know, the tournament organizers do take like smell complaints a lot more seriously now. So just recently, one of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament organizers made a rule that players who showed up smelling bad or wearing dirty clothes would also be banned, similar to the ban from the tournament from 2019. And so this dude's probably going to get disqualified. That's really where it's going.
Dude, gaming's awesome. I know you love gaming, Eric. I've always been a gamer. I don't have the time these days, but I don't want to be involved in any community where the top two rules are no sexual harassment and you have to smell better. Like, that's a tough top two.
Yeah, and in game chats.
Yeah, I mean, that's
racism,
the gaming community.
Smells, sex.
That's what you got to do to win raids, though. Sometimes you got to just bite your lip and deal.
Yeah.
Well, when you're online, you can't smell.
Chatter.
Yeah. Listen, luckily games now have like a mute all situation. So you can mute all people and just stay away from that toxicity until you get in person into the stadium so people are stinky. Right. Then it's a whole different problem, but there's
then
ways.
You just hear them cursing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Screaming the obscenities and whatever flavor they have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's it. It's really a situation in Japan.
Thank you, Eric.
It's good to learn about. All right, Yu-Gi-Oh! They make cricket players seem sane with that.
Yeah,
2-month tournaments. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, a couple more good ideas that turned out to be bad ideas. Our correspondent over in Leeds, England, Andrew Parker, sent us this one about this TikTok TV star and Brazilian influencer. Here she is, guys. The picture got my attention. That's why we're talking about the story. Eric, what does Gen Z call a woman who's attractive like this in a bikini?
Oh, can I say this online?
Yeah, you can say
it. Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
No. Probably just smoking, you know. We don't really.
Thought?
I don't know.
Anymore?
No, not really.
Let's go. Cool.
Okay.
We're trying to be a little softer with our words nowadays.
Okay. I'm so old, I'm trying to learn the new terms. That's MC Thammy. Thammy, probably Tammy with a silent H. Anyway, she's Brazilian.
Yeah.
Huh?
MC Thigh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive, her thighs. Well, she, along with two of her male friends, Tias Nieff and Artur Braz, suffered first and second degree burns after attempting to stand in salted ice for 15 minutes in a challenge for a reality TV show in Pernambuco, Brazil. And the doctors warned Thammy and company that they nearly needed their toes amputated because of the challenge. God. There's her feet. You see those?
Whoa. So,
yeah.
Her toes I just read, black. It might have been a joke, but you guys were just talking about Lorena Bobbitt and who chopped recently, off John Bobbitt's dick. Apparently, she needs her toes amputated.
Wow. No way. Diabetes?
Yeah. I don't know.
Tough.
just read it right now.
Yeah. Like so this challenge that Thammy was doing was for a reality show called N1 Influencers, and allegedly had firefighter supervision, but the pictures in the Daily Mail article show a mannequin. You see it there dressed as a firefighter. That's the only one the pictures showed. So I'm not sure if it was a real firefighter, just the mannequin. But somebody told them they needed to go to the hospital where Artur still remains. This guy is like, maybe his toes are still in jeopardy. And here is Tius being carried home, feet completely bandaged by his probable relative, Anderson, who made the reality series. MC Tammy, or Thammy, whichever one it is, has also dropped out after all this.
It's an embarrassing picture.
Yeah.
A littler man being carried by a man.
With his feet fully bandaged.
That's an embarrassing photo. Also updated, it was John Wayne Bobbitt. He lost his dick and now he's losing his toes.
Woo.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he got the replacement dick. So
yeah, true.
Just losing his, probably diabetes for sure. If you've seen his porns, he likes
loses, he loses all of his toes from contaminated water today. That guy's got some rotten luck. They're all gone.
Oh my god.
Damn. All right. The final good idea gone wrong to end the show with, sent in by my wife. Nice. What do you do when you have a 9-year-old son who won't stop bugging you for a pet octopus after you accidentally told him it was a thing that you could get in town? And then you look it all up and it's going to be like $600 for the tank and the octopus, and you have plenty of space for it in your house. And your son's been begging you for it. Do you buy the tank and the octopus for your son, your 9-year-old son's birthday party?
You buy that shit for yourself. But yes, you buy that shit because the octopus is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, clearly you do. You buy the tank and the octopus.
You buy it for his birthday, then you buy it for yourself for life. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's an octopus in your house. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You'd be able to play with it, right? That's a good idea. It's going to make your 9-year-old son super happy. That's a great idea. Let's do it.
It gets out, doesn't it?
Well, that's what maybe, Mark, we'll see. That's what 36-year-old dentist Cameron Clifford did. He bought his son Cal the octopus of his dreams for his 9th birthday. And at the local aquarium store told them that Terrence, that was the octopus's name, was definitely a male, okay? Because that's what you need, because you don't want a female octopus because it'll have babies. And that Terrence would stay small forever, okay? So they get Terrence home, they get him set up in the tank.
Terrence
and then,
is clearly a lady that has babies and gets huge.
Are you sure, Mark?
Yes.
Terrence started to get real big, you know? And so they call up and they're like, hey, you know, Terrence is starting to get big. And then Terrence started laying eggs, okay? And then they call up the aquarium store that told him it was a male. And they're like, hey, Terrence is huge and laying eggs. And they're like, well, they're not fertilized. No
they're
chance.
Turds, so, right?
No chance. Their eggs aren't fertilized. Terrence isn't going to have babies. Then Terrence hatched about 50 baby octopi inside that tank. And so the Cliffords called the shop and said, hey, Terrence just had 50 babies, right? And so then the shop says, now that we know she's a girl, Terrence is a girl, she's going to die off after that. You know, that's what women octopus do. They just die
you're
off.
You're the mama. No refunds. You're the mom now.
Yeah. Like, okay. So, you know, that's it. Terrence is going to die off. Don't worry. You may have the 50 baby octopi, but Terrence is going to die off. The big one will be gone. You'll be good. But unfortunately, Terrence continues to just get huge, bigger and bigger.
Terrence has a reason to live now.
Yeah. And now the Cliffords have tons of baby octopi that they need to get rid of. They're currently each requiring their own tank, eating thousands of dollars in clams, crabs, and snails each month. And it's a pretty shitty ending to a $600 birthday gift.
Right? This was a scam to get them to have 50 tanks. I guess you're going to need to buy 50 tanks.
Yeah. True. And this is probably a scam just to get you to follow at TikToktopus on TikTok, who now has over 400,000 followers. That's a happy side effect of them now having 25 baby octopi that survived. And Terrence, they believe, will die at some point, but they aren't sure. So,
yeah, but what are they doing with the 50 babies that are going to get big soon?
No. Of the 50, 25 have survived, which is actually better than most like scientific laboratories. So scientists are like, how have you done it so well? They're like, with $1,000.
They're learning from this birthday party.
Yeah.
Well, wait, what are scientists doing?
The problem is, Mark, is that nobody wants pet octopus.
Right.
It turns out. So yeah.
If I had a huge house that and a big aquarium, that would be one of the first animals. I guess a male octopus, now that I heard about this, but
yeah.
Over like a mini shark, I'd rather like an octopus. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. They get out too. And they will do. And
they eat the cat.
Electrical fires have been started. Yeah. A bunch of seawater has been dumped all over the Clifford's home. Anyways, octopus, octopus for your pet, for your octopus pet for your son. Sounds like a good idea. Could turn into a bad one. That's the last of those. Thank you for listening to the pod today. If you need more, go to patreon.com/hardfactor as always. But most importantly, get out there and have yourself a great fucking day.
Yeah. No, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, now get out of here. Well, right now.
That's a little rough, right? No.